coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Sharing my experience from yesterday evening. Six-year-old coach pitch. And some of the overzealous parents, it's nothing
was it
new.
Was it just the one incident, or was there more than that?
No, you know, in soccer, I had this guy whose kid was great. Like, this kid was four, and he scored every goal. And the kid kept saying, or the dad kept telling the kid not to pass. And when he would pass and someone blew a shot or didn't know what to do with it, he was ripping the kids. And I had to remove myself from the field, like you said. Like, this was at four, dude.
That's crazy.
Four.
That's crazy.
Like, so I'm experiencing all this, and you know me. I never shy with words. And some would predict I'd be that guy. And I've like I said, I grew up a bad sport. I grew up a bad little leaguer. I used to yell at my teammates. And I've had to say, the older I've gotten here, the more I've, like, just sort of had internal discussions with myself. Don't be that guy. Don't put the pressure on your kids. Don't just let them.
I can't ever see
sport.
You yelling at another kid for a mistake on
ever,
a field.
Ever.
Or I can see you giving your own kid a hard time.
I save that for the Cubs, dude. I mean, they're getting paid a pretty penny, and I'm paying a pretty penny to go to the games and now to get their channel. I'll yell at the pros. If you're Carlos,
I'm not suggesting you're going to boo. You're not going to boo your son. I'm just
right.
saying, like.
Yeah, I mean.
Hey, Mason, look alive out there. Come on. Get in the game. Like,
here's the second
like
part of this. And then the governor's part. And then we'll take your calls, 332-3776. He doesn't love this. He doesn't love it, my six-year-old. But he's only six. He's getting better, though. But he said to me in the car, Daddy, I don't like baseball. Why do I have to do it? What do I do?
Do you see something in him where he kind of does like it, but maybe he doesn't like it as much as, let's say, Star Wars, okay?
Right.
So my advice to you would be, as long as you see that spark, if your kid is out there and it's crying when he goes there, doesn't want to go and doesn't want to have anything to do with it, different story. But if you see that your kid has, this is just one man's opinion, you see that the kid has some interest in it, I wouldn't allow him to give up on it just yet.
Because six-year-old, does he know what he likes? And again, I am telling you, Waddle, I swear to you, I do not want to be that parent. If my kid doesn't like baseball, I'm cool with it. I love sports, and I grew up loving sports. David Flom gave me good advice a couple of years ago. He goes, dude, no one likes yourself more than you. Everyone wants everyone to be like themselves. So don't make him into a mini you. If he doesn't like something, let him develop into his. And I'm not going to pressure him to play. But is he old enough to make that call now at six? Or do I still need to push a little bit? Give it a try. All we want you to do, like what I say to him is, hey, you'll get it. The more you practice, the more you'll understand it, the more you'll love it. All I want you to do is try your best.
See, are there any good moments?
Yes. Oh, he's gotten a lot better than last year. I just don't want him to be the worst kid and be the kid that I used to pick on.
I think, Sylvie, especially at this age, with baseball in particular, because the team aspect of it, we all understand it at this point. You know what goes into it. But I think it's critical to make sure that, you know, that you, when you have one-on-one time with Mason, that you're throwing him some BP, because the best part about baseball as a kid is hitting. No, it's unquestionable.
Right, it's hard to do.
And I think in the team aspect at 6 years old, like, this is actually one point where Fred is actually on point, where it's difficult to really, for kids at 6 years old to have the attention span to understand what's going on. Now, they need to learn the game, and that's where if we know Mason likes to watch baseball with you, right? He loves the Sox.
Right, and it's been a while. Oh, he loves the Sox.
So we know he's got it in him. That's good parenting by you. But I think the aspect of baseball in particular, if he enjoys hitting in the backyard when you're pitching to him, then he certainly will grow to love the other stuff that goes with baseball.
And I bribe him a little bit when we're hitting in the back with wiffle balls and stuff. I say, look, if you, and I don't do it long, 10 minutes, you know, and leave it on a high. And I say, you hit some of these balls, or you get it past this line, then you get a prize or something like that. So I don't know.
Listen, I'm a huge advocate of having your kids involved in something. If it's not baseball, it's not soccer, it's something else. Sitting inside and doing nothing, and I know it's hard these days with COVID and everything else, but being a prisoner of technology is personally is...
Get them out and let him...
Because, yeah. Listen, it's the one thing that I think as well that these kids are all unfortunately missing out on as well because of what what they've been thrust into,
right,
is the maturation process of dealing with other people and the interaction. And
the social aspect of
And that's, you know, it's good for them.
There are no play dates. There are no social interactions with them at all.
Right. So maybe, you know, maybe he won't be, you know, Chris Bryant. That's fine. He doesn't have to be Chris Bryant, but getting him out there, if he gets some joy in it,
I want him
to
just enjoy the sport. Yeah. And if we go through this and he doesn't, fine. I'm cool. I don't need him to be like me. 312-332-3776. How to deal with some of these parents, kids' experience. I'll tell you about what the governor said in a little bit. I know we got a ton of calls at 332-3776. Barry, in my neck of the woods, Deerfield, hey. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Bear?
How you doing? Sylvie, I feel your pain as a Deerfield dad, but I raised two kids. They're older now. They're out of college. The culture here is pretty much the same, I'm told, as everywhere else in any burb. But what you're looking at in Pinto and T-ball and coach pitch and moving on to Mustang, up here in Deerfield, it's parents that you'll find in Pinto, they'll stack the team according to the friends of the fathers. Later on, they'll stack the team according to skills because they get a little more aggressive with their kids. They think their kid is definitely the next MLB player, and they're far more critical. And when they go to when they start drafting, like in travel, oh my God, that's when you really see the worst out of people. But you're so smart to sit behind home plate and kind of just take it all in stride. It's all about having a good time.
It's all about
the kid enjoying it and like you said. Leaving on a high. And if he sees that you're having a good time, if you're laughing it off, hey, he'll try even harder, I think. You know, one of the best coaches we had in Deerfield, a guy named Rob Balder, he was just the most incredible coach because he made it fun. There was another coach we had that when you did something right during practice, you were able to pick up one of those big water cannons and scored everybody on a hot summer evening. I mean, it was, you know, they made it fun. The best coaches
supposed to
make
be,
it
right.
fun.
Absolutely. Barry, thanks. Good call. Ben and Cicero, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Ben?
Hey, what's up, brother? How you doing? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, actually, Ben. Everything's going really well. Thank you.
All right. Keep on struggling. Keep on striving.
Thank you.
So my nephew went to my high school. So he was obviously 20 years later than me. I incentivized him. And every pick, sack, fumble, strip, batted ball, I paid him. And all the family members knew who my nephew was. There was a time in the game he dropped a pick. And in high school football, you know, the stadium gets real quiet. And I'm a little bit larger dude with a stronger voice. He was trying to drink some water. I told him, catch the ball. And he dropped his water and looked up at me like, come on, Aunt. And I'm like, and he just smiled. He's like, I got you. Next two balls up in the air, my nephew picked them off.
And you paid him for that. You incentivized him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Thank you.
He had a tailback that was tipped on to tulips. I told him, run violent. Let's go. We're trying to win. Let's go. And I paid him for big runs and stuff like that.
No bounties. You didn't put any bounties on any kids, did you?
No bounties. No bounties. It was incentive for the kids. That was it. No bounties.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate your phone call.
I used to give money for goals at times.
Yeah. You got to. You got to bribe the kids, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, I went broke one year. I mean, my daughter Leah played. She was on the number one team in the country for 2 years in travel soccer. I probably lost $500 that year.
Wow. Jim's doesn't want to say where he's calling from because it may give away what he has to say.
I think we lost Jim Silva.
Oh, really? Sorry, wanted to rip some parents in Little League by him.
I know, we lost him. He must have got nervous. He dropped off.
Who's best right here, Mellor? Who would you go with?
I think, you know what? Pat, hopefully he looks good. He's got some advice for you about dealing with parents who are fucking trash.
Hey, Pat, in Aurora, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, Silvy, we're thinking about you, man. We're in our prayers.
Thank you, Pat.
What I would tell you to do is that when you hear the parent say something like that to the kid and to turn to him and say, hey, I'm, you know, he's 6 years old. I'm sure he'd appreciate any input you have to make him better.
Yeah, I see. Just in today, the only thing I would say about this, Pat, is in today's day and age, people are not scared to mix it up.
And yeah, like, I think you're probably right. He's probably going to tell you to have him quit, which would be the wrong thing. But a lot of times when you put the person on the spot, I don't think you need to mix it up. You just say, hey, you know, he's 6 years old. I'm sure any suggestion you would have. And don't say it aggressively. Just say it mildly to him. And I'm sure he'd just shut his yap.
Yeah. Thank you, Pat.
Or you could just look at that guy and say, hey, old man, how about I whip your ass with that cane of yours?
He wasn't that old. I would say he was probably 60.
I think, Sylvie, you have it in your arsenal. You just need to be like, hey, AA washout, what level do you play at?
This is what I want to avoid. That's everything I don't want to be. I shouldn't have to be the policeman.
No, you're
shouldn't
right.
Should be common sense.
Dude,
if you're going to a six-year-old coach pitch game, that you don't criticize any other kid on the team?
It should be, but clearly it's not. So I think when there's very few things that annoy me as a parent more than another critical parent of kids who are just participating in youth sports. I mean, I know what you're saying, and I don't think it needs to lead to mixing it up with people, but I those guys need to be called out.
Have you seen the videos going on in grocery stores these days? People mix it up just because they want to mix it
up,
right.
Though. You're right.
There's some crazy folks out there. I mean, seriously.
But at the same time, you're right, and I would never fight with the parents over a youth sports thing, but I'll call someone out. Because you know what? The worst thing is that parent show up to another game and then continue to do the same thing. Like, I don't want it to elevate to a point where I have to now debate whether or not I want to go to my child's game or worst case, if I have to change teams or affiliation because I can't deal with another parent.
312-332-3776 if you want to get in on the advice for me. And the governor of Illinois had a press conference today, and he is blaming youth sports for the spike in cases. Is this the case? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
New road for me with a lot of these things I'm experiencing as a dad of two young boys. Some of these things that we deal with in youth sports, I'm just finding out for the first time. I mean, I've heard you, Waddle, heard Gene Greco. I've heard callers before. We've discussed this before.
It's also a game of, over the course of time, you just learn how to handle it better and deal with it. And, you know.
Yeah, I'm just still at the point where I'm getting shocked by a lot of these things.
Right.
Like, I'm like, really? What? Huh?
Yeah.
Governor Pritzker also said today, quote, he's deeply troubled by outbreaks that we're seeing all around the state tied to activities like sports. And he's talking about youth sports and whether or not these kids are getting distant enough with each other and whether or not people are masked. I could tell you yesterday, another part of this discussion was in a large group of people that I was with, probably 10 to 15% of the people watching the game were wearing masks.
Were they all congregated in the same spot? Because
no,
I can paint,
everyone was distant, so.
Okay, because I can paint you a scenario where I'm at a soccer game or even a baseball game, and I'm 30 feet from the next closest parent, and I'm not wearing a mask. But as soon as I walk, as the game ends, or I want to go back and talk to my wife who's sitting elsewhere, that I put my mask on as I re-engage with a larger group of people. That, to me, would be fine protocol.
There are a lot of parents, like, walking around and socializing. That's when I think you need to wear it. Better safe than sorry here. Come on. Let's think of everybody else. Tom in Highland Park, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, guys. I have three sons, and two of the three had no interest in playing baseball, but it was the sort of thing that it was important to me. So I actually made them play, and we would have fights probably every day. Do I have to go to practice? This is terrible. And what I told them was they had to play the game long enough to get to the level where the kids were pitching. They had to play at least one season of that. And that the important thing wasn't they didn't have to be great, but they had to know how to catch a ball, throw a ball, and hit a ball, because that was going to be important later in their life. And we would have fights about it all the time. But at the end of the day, what happened was that when my oldest went to college, he actually came back and said, you know, I always was mad that you made me do that, but we went out there and I was throwing the ball around with everyone, and I'm glad you made me do it.
There you go. So,
that's a good dad moment right there, right?
Listen, as kids, we didn't always like our vegetables, right? But mom and dad made us eat them.
Now
I get
it.
There's nutritious value in it. But there's also nutritious value in interacting with other human beings.
Right.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Of course. Brian in the city. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Brian.
Waddle, Sylvie, good to talk to you guys. Sylvie, rooting for you, proud of you, glad everything's going as well as it can. Waddle, you are always the voice of reason. Never stop being who you are.
Oof. Wow, so, that's a low bar.
So let me start with the youth sports stuff, and if I earn it, I'll give you advice if I still have time. I'm a former junior college coach. I'm a former Division III coach. I'm a former Division I coach. And now I work with 11 to 18-year-olds because I think we need to reform youth sports. And I hear a lot of people bashing the parents, and the things you hear are an issue. And the issue I have is someone that's ran events, ran tournaments, ran teams, is the parents will cross the lines if you allow them to.
Yeah.
And it is amazing how many times I get someone and other coaches are like, watch out for this parent. And as long as before we have our first practice, our first tournament,
yep,
we talk about what's important, what's not, the reality of scholarships versus opportunity, the difference between the supply and the demand, and the expectations of the parent. As long as I'm doing my job as a coach and I'm focused and I tell them, I'm not going to give the kids equal playing time. I have to teach them to compete. But my vow to you is at practice, and that's what you're really paying for, the development. Every kid from my stud player to my kid that is the newest and rawest, they all get the same opportunity for development. It is amazing when you hold them to that standard. And then when they cross the line, be firm about it. Put it in writing how much they will conform. I've literally had parents that recognize that they can't help themselves, and they will stand 100 feet away from the field because that's what it takes for them to watch their kids. Because I'll tell them, if you can't abide by the rules, you agree to be part of our program, that you can't be part of it. And they will comply when you set the expectations. But the main thing for all these parents is most youth sports companies, what do they put on their social media? Victories in college placement, victories in college placement. And then we turn around and get mad at the parents when they're so results-focused. Well, we don't prioritize the kids that may not be as talented, but they do get better, right? And so I do think that parents have to be better about how they handle themselves, but I think sometimes as coaches, it's very easy for us to point the finger, and we don't take responsibility of the fact that youth sports is much more cutthroat, and especially in Chicago, compared to when I was a kid 20 years ago, and we don't take ownership of the fact that it's somewhat our job to set the expectations and the reality for these parents.
I sound like a great coach. Yeah, you sound like,
you know,
a great coach.
I got two thoughts on that. The first thing is you got to know in different environments you're going to get different things. Like if you're playing at the highest level of travel, baseball, soccer, whatever it is, you understand that the level of commitment is there, the level of play is there, the competition level is elevated, and the stakes are high as well because of all of... There are a lot of kids out there that are fighting tooth and nail to earn scholarships to go to schools that they wouldn't have the financial wherewithal to be able to go to. So that's a part of it.
Right. What do you always say, Waddle? You say time and place.
Time and place.
And when I go to a 6 o'clock, 6-year-old coach pitch game,
that's not one of those.
I shouldn't have to experience any of this crap.
That's right. That's why I'm saying you have to differentiate between the level of you know, commitment and all that other stuff. The other thing is, as a parent, I've had kids on teams where before, like the coach was just mentioning, before the first practice, he set the things in, you know, he set the groundwork. And one of the things he said is I'm not going to tolerate any of the parents yelling at other kids. And if you do that, I'm going to pull your kid off the field.
That's good.
So, I mean, I think in a lot of ways, I think in some ways it's worse in the kind of the lower levels than it is at the upper levels, because at the upper levels, most people understand, like at least in some instances, if you're going to yell at other people's kids, your kid's going to come off the field.
That should be rule number one. George on the South Side. Georgie, you're on ESPN 1000. George?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, George, what's up?
How you doing? Sylvie, I hope everything's well for you and things stay positive. I know everything's going to turn out fine for you.
Appreciate you, George. Thanks.
Yeah. And listen, as far as I coach my kids, since he was, like you're saying, 6 years old, and he was out there crying, didn't want to do anything. And it was one of my worst nightmares, I guess, for him being my only son and me loving the game of baseball. And I just, all right, you know, this is not for him, whatever. And I just, what I did is I just kept them involved in the game. I played college ball. I played semi-pro ball. I played in summer leagues. So he was always around me with those things. And little by little, in about a couple of years, he just turned around and said, hey, I want to play baseball on his own, you know. But kept them involved in the whole thing. And then from there, you know, you kind of see where he's at and what he wants to do. And does he want to play? Does he want to be competitive? And believe it or not, a lot of these kids, and you guys growing up, you always want to be good at something. So when you're playing, your kids are going to be, I want to be just as good as the guy on the that's playing with me. I want to be just as good as that person. I want to be able to hit the ball, catch the ball. Everything that they do, so they surround themselves with good people, you know, positive attitude. They're eventually going to evolve and be that player that you want them to be. And then from there, you take it a step further. Do I invest in them and spend money over this off season, and do I go into different types of training? But he'll get there. If he's not there yet, he'll eventually get there. As far as like this whole thing with dealing with parents, I've been the parent. I've been the assistant coach to a head coach to a high school coach, and I sometimes feel like, you know what, it's why cry over spilled milk. You know, it's just like just leave it alone. You talk to your kids, and you talk to your kids, depending on the level that they're at. But I'm always a big believer also that you can't coach the kids when they're playing. You got to coach them when you're having practice. And a lot of parents do this. Is they go up to their kid as soon as they strike out, and they start telling them, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. And that's one of the worst things you can do to a kid, because you're throwing them off the game. Do that while we're at practice. Hey, you want to help me out? Something's going on with your kid. He's not doing something right. We'll practice that point. But, yeah, I think that, like the other coach mentioned, everything's got to be set up front from the beginning and let people know who you are as a coach and what you're trying to accomplish with their kids, whether it be young kids, rec ball, tournament play, any high school or above. Yeah, because, you know, you it depends on where you're at, and you want to be able to perform and you want your kids to perform. Only, and I always tell my kids, I don't care about winning or losing. It's more about competing. Compete. Be competitive. When you compete, that means you're playing at the highest level, at the level we need to be. And everything's going to turn out fine. And the parents, once they see that, they're going to understand too. But some parents are always going to want to live the dream through their kids, no matter what.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey,
thanks, George.
I want to go back to the statement you made about the governor. What kind of information did he give about saying, was there evidence that the kids' sports is doing? I know, like, at Lake Zurich High School, they tested like 600 people because I think they had an outbreak of like 30 plus people. But I'm not sure that it was directly related to sporting events. I mean, I have not heard that the spike in number of cases is due to, you know, sporting events.
Yeah, that was his quote today, that it has to do with the sports. A lot of these summer sports leagues. Now, camps are open, too.
Right.
Day camps are open, but I know they take a lot of precautions there. My kids are wearing masks. The counselors always have to wear masks. They can't sit on the bus next to anybody else, except, like, your brother or someone like that or your sister. So, that was the quote about sports that... You know,
before you shut them down, I would just hope that they, if that's the direction it's going, that they would have some significant hardcore evidence as to why that is, because again, how important it is for these kids to interact with other kids.
He said, quote, so I gave you the quote about he's deeply troubled by outbreaks that we're seeing all around the state tied to activities like sports. Quote, we're continually evaluating what works and what doesn't work, and we're taking a good hard look at how youth sports fits into that conversation. That's from Mark Maxwell.
And Sylvie,
he was a long-time Waddle and Sylvie listener, and he now works downstate covering Springfield.
I have more specifics to that quote. He says he did give moments. He said all around the state tied to activities like youth sports, like in Lake Zurich, where dozens of students and parents have tested positive in a related outbreak, and in Knox County, where a teen softball league is also experiencing an outbreak. So he has two specific examples in his quote.
I thought the Lake Zurich thing was more about kind of a party
it might
situation
be, but,
than it was
but Pritzker, you know, cited it as one of his
right.
two examples.
I'm just saying, listen, I mean, before, I know I'm not trying to, you know, lower the bar. I'm just saying before we push the sports aside, because I think they are so very important for the development of younger people. Just I would want to make sure that the outbreak was because of a sports related activity and not because some irresponsible kids got together and had a big house party or something.
Yeah, there was more good news today about vaccines as well. We gave you news yesterday from the AP. I think there was another story about another company with a vaccine. 312-332-3776. Really good discussion about youth sports. Chuck Garfine joining us at 4 o'clock to talk White Sox.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Waddle's World at 4:30 today. Just an
Waddle's
hour.
World travels. It doesn't have to be any
Absolutely.
Set place or time.
So we'll have that in about an hour. If you want to participate, 332-3776. Had a good discussion about just my experiences with a six-year-old, my oldest.
Don't get down about it. Just one, you know, there's a good chance next time you go to a game, everything will be hunky-dory. Mason may rip a double into the gap. He may make a good play wherever he's playing. The parents may behave
Maybe
themselves.
He'll make a nice bouquet of daisies for you in the outfield.
Yeah, it's better. Yes, exactly. I mean, my wife took a picture of him at third base yesterday, chatting it up with one of his buddies on the other team, not paying attention.
It was a hot corner, man. It was a hot conversation going.
Yeah, I got to tell him the hot corner is hot for a reason because the balls come at you fast. But then the comments to another six-year-old kid, the first baseman, stinks from like what looked to me like a grandfather. And out loud, said that out loud. And then the governor blaming youth sports for a spike in cases in Illinois. If you want to weigh in on any of it, 312-332-3776. Dan is calling from my hometown of Skokie. Danny, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
I'm brand new grandfather. And I just
congratulations.
Had a, that's awesome.
This
Congrats.
Conversation with my son, he was an athlete, and he said, "Dad, what am I going to do if my son doesn't want to play baseball or if he doesn't want to play sports?" And I said, "Just love him,
or drop him off
that's
at the bus station.
Say, just love him."
That's good advice. Yes, thank
Absolutely.
You. Congrats. That's awesome. Good for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah. You said just drop him.
I
drop him.
I said drop him off at the bus station. I'm joking,
a
obviously.
One-way ticket on Greyhound.
Yeah, you know what? If you come back.
Listen,
you know what?
You don't have
to. When you have a full appreciation for baseball, you come back now.
Listen, you don't have to play ball, but if you want
to
eat
Nor
dinner,
do you have to live in my house and eat my food.
Yeah, if you want to eat dinner.
Yeah, you tell Mason that next time he's getting in the car and going to coach pitch baseball.
Right. You don't come back unless you got a 33-inch bat with you. Reno and Chesterton, I've been looking forward to this call. I hope it lives up to the description. Reno, you're on ESPN 1000. What's going on?
Hi, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. So strong.
Thank you, Reno.
Hey, I wanted to my son, now 33 years old, he was a youth sports in the time of Frank Thomas. But growing up as a kid, he was the smallest one on his football team. Smallest one on his little league team, smallest one on his basketball team, but he was always the fastest. And I said, Joe, as a kid, you might not be the fastest or the biggest, but in any sport or even life in that matter, you're going to stand out if you're aggressive. So I always said, Joe, be aggressive no matter what you did and what you do. And, you know, they look at you with a blank stare on their face like, are they listening or not? Fast forward that statement 2 months in the future, him and I are watching a Michigan International NASCAR race. He was a Jeff Gordon fan. I hated him. I was a Dale Jarrett fan. Dale Jarrett's winning with two laps to go. Jeff Gordon is on his butt, and he spins him out. And I was so ticked off. My son looks at me and says, Dad, all he was doing was being aggressive.
Yeah.
You told me. And I'm like, he listened to me. He actually listened to me. So I just wanted to – sometimes kids, when you tell them something, they actually do listen. And it served him well in sports and in life.
There you go. That's good, Reno.
Story.
Thank you. Really good story. Kyle is calling from an anonymous town because he's got some stories. I think, Kyle, what, you're an AD for a park district?
Yeah. So I can't let my parents know I'm calling right now. But what I wanted to warn you, the biggest warning I will give for you sports, I just want to send it your way. Do with it what you want. When I grew up, I'm 33. So when I grew up, there was only one travel team in town for your age level, for basketball, for baseball, whatever it was. In today's youth sports world, I call them mom and pop travel teams. So if your kid does not make that, you know, that town's travel team, then that dad will get upset. Oh, my son is good enough to do this, or my daughter's good enough to do that. And they create their own travel team. Because in today's world, if you have a checkbook, you can join any travel league you want, any AAU program you want, or make one of your own. Those are typically the parents that I see. By third and fourth grade, they'll leave my program. Those are the ones that are causing all the trouble. And then they go off and then they do their own travel team. Probably not the people that are qualified to run their own travel program. But if you have a paycheck or a checkbook, you can pay the league fee and you're in, you know, kind of like adult softball. Those are the people that you hear the horror stories about. Those are the ones that you see on the news that a fight broke out, or the ones that your neighbor shares crazy stories about. It's that level of youth sports, those mom-and-pop travel teams, that you really want to avoid. There's nothing wrong with travel ball or AAU ball or anything like that, but it's when you get those C and D-level teams, those tend to be the parents who think their kid is a little bit better than what they are and tend to be more aggressive and get out of hand. So my advice to you is, you know, if your son's ever going to get to that level around third, fourth grade, and I still think that's too young, in my opinion.
Yeah,
but what, really do your research on what program you will join, if that makes sense.
And if your kid's facing off against a team and their team jersey says Johnny's Tap on it, know that, you know, like there's a good chance that that's a rough crew.
Yes, right. It's incredible. Like, that blows me. That's a whole new level. Like, Merck is involved with his son, Brett, regarding this. It's like a travel game for us when we were kids. I know, you know, way back in the day, it was like going from Skokie to Lincolnwood. You know, hey, we got a game against Lincolnwood's All-Stars. That was travel.
And you usually got there on your bike.
Yes. What these kids do, it's incredible.
My kids' soccer conference, okay, they played teams in Dallas. They played teams in Orlando. They played teams in New Jersey. They played teams in San Diego.
That program was one of the best programs in the country that was producing Division I athletes.
That's true, but I'm just saying, like, once you get, I mean, there's a broad spectrum, and there are situations where, I mean, you're traveling all over the country for kids' sports. It gets kind of, you know, crazy at times.
George on 294, you're on ESPN.
Lost him, Sylvie, sorry.
Okay. Is TF still there?
He is.
Is it TF Hammer?
How are you?
Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
Hey, Sylvie, you sound great. You sound very strong. Keep it up, man. You're doing great.
That means a lot. Thank you.
I have a couple of stories. When my kids were young and growing up in the T-ball and the coach pitch, I just first started out with them to, you know, support teammates. And I always told them, play hard, play fair, play to win, but be a sportsman the whole time. So when one of my kids was in the 6-7 year old thing,
And one of the guys made a comment similar to what this grandfather did. You know, all us dads are looking at each other like, geez, what's wrong with this guy? So next inning happens again. And I said up to my wife, I go, I got to do something. So I get up, I stand in front of all the parents, and I look them straight in the eye, and I said, you know, these kids don't stop putting dirt and dandelions in their back pocket for another 2 years. So relax on them. And that shut them up.
Good. Yeah.
And then my son, okay, this the same son, and he grew up and he was a very good athlete. You know, he was always on the Super Bowl championship teams and the World Series champion teams, you know, throughout, you know, his life. And he became a Little League umpire at 13. And so one of the dads made a comment to him while he was umpiring the game. And in between innings, because I'm in the, you know, I'm in the backstop like you are, I'm just watching. He goes, Dad, did you hear that guy? I go, yeah. I go, well, what are you going to do about it? You're the umpire. He goes, here's what I'm going to do. He goes, I'm going to call both coaches, and I'm going to have them to give that parent, I'm going to give him a warning. Next time he opens his mouth, I'm going to ask him to leave. I go, well, you can do that, you know, but, you know, be nice about it, but you have the authority to remove him. So give the guy a warning, tell him to relax, calm down. And, you know, as Ditka said, right, this too shall pass.
There you go. Yeah. That, and that's the way coach. To punctuate a call right there with the little coach.
Yeah.
This too shall pass when he got fired. That was when he actually got fired. From the Bears.
Every now and again, a little reminder, especially the younger, if you just kind of say a little loud for everyone to hear, remember, they're just kids. It kind of, at sometimes, it gets people to stop in their tracks and not be a D-bag.
Yeah, they're like, what am I doing? Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. 312.
Remember, they're just kids, everybody. Just kids.
They're
That's
just
all.
Six. They're not even like kids yet, even. Like. Yeah. You know, they're like low kids.
Yeah. They're just
young kids. Young still. 3323776 if you want to weigh in. Chuck Garfine coming up at 4. I'm starting to get some sarcastic tweets about the White Sox. And this is going to be an interesting conversation with Garfine coming up at 4 because they continue to look really good so far. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Baseball that we'll get to here. Rizzo had an MRI. Nothing long term, but they did identify like the ribs being a problem with some of his back spasms. He still is hopeful that he could start the season. We're 9 days away.
That sounds so good.
Keuchel dealt today in an intra-squad scrimmage. Robert doubled again. People are now tweeting. You know how this goes in the city when two baseball teams are good and hopeful. They love to rip the other side of town. People are now tweeting Chicago White Sox summer camp champs, just like with the Bulls on the summer league stuff. But you know why?
That's Cub fans actually.
Yes, right.
I think that's scared Cub fans. They're apprehensive. They're nervous because there's a chance the White Sox could be taking over the conversation.
Thanks, Cubs.
Baseball conversation in town, and that's just their defenses. Their natural defenses coming up in a Twitter tweet.
I would say never be scared to get excited. Never. You remember me in 15 watching those Cubs play, a lot of them who were minor leaguers when we were there in spring training. Now, at that time, it looked like Addison Russell was can't miss when he was out there fielding, but it was just like
called
one
him a star,
guy.
Didn't you? Didn't you say he was a star? Didn't you call him a star?
Well, I mean, he did have like 95 RBIs, and I know that's a counting stat in the World Series year. But, yes, his career didn't go the way I anticipated. You win that one, Waddle.
Well, I just thought that, you know, I had a little edge to it because everyone was saying, oh, he's the next Barry Larkin, no doubt. Whoa, timeout. Barry Larkin is a Hall of Famer.
Okay, wait. Hold on, though. Context, we were just simply quoting Billy Bean telling Theo that he was Barry Larkin.
No, and there
That's
were also
why,
some yes. Cub
That's why it was also, always the Barry
were,
Larkin comp.
There were also some Cub people in our meetings telling me that he was a star.
Me.
And I just said
I thought he was going to be a star. I thought that he was one of the can't-miss kids.
Tap the brakes is all I said. Let's see it for a little longer. That's all I said.
Someone who's been burned by that, I would say don't worry about getting burned. Get excited.
Yes,
I agree. Think about Luis Robert as a can't-miss. I mean, enjoy it.
Don't you put your hex on Lou Bob now, Mr. Cub fan.
I think he's his can't-miss.
Think Sylvie's doing that with a little bit of tongue-in-cheek?
No. I think this is like a Chris Bryant territory, where Chris Bryant, you knew the floor was going to be very, very, very high. And I think that's where Lou Bob is heading.
Hmm. Lou Bob, what a great
It is a good nickname. I love it.
It is, yeah. All right, Walt in Minnesota. He wanted to weigh in on this conversation. Hey, Walt, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, Waddle. Hey, Sylvie. Sylvie Strong.
Thanks, Walt.
Longtime fans here, my son and I. He's 13. And, you know, I can just tell you, we all know that kids are one of the truest blessings we can ever have. Tremendous gift. I grew up playing sports. I'm 50. I'm from the old school of coaching. My son, he's played all of these different sports. And I'll tell you what, he goes out there, he gives the effort. Has he ever been an all-star? No, but he's tried all the different sports. And I see these parents, like I've heard some of the callers talk about, that get so hardcore and uptight about everything. When we grew up, all we had was YMCA, and then we would represent our school. We played for our schools when we got to middle school. Now with all these traveling leagues, my son, he's starting to narrow it down. He wants to play football. Totally love that. He's a big fan of you guys, so I wish he was here. He would want to say hello. And he's getting into football and powerlifting. He's played baseball, soccer, basketball. And I tell you what, he went out there, he had fun. He's learned competitiveness, too, from it. And, you know, there's all of that opportunity for coaching, too. And, Sylvie, I've coached basketball. I didn't know much about basketball. I played 2 years. That was when I was, like, six and 7 years old. So if you ever get that chance, I would say get out there and coach.
See, Look, thanks for the phone call. Waddle, the one thing I'd say about that is, it scares me on how I get ticked off at other parents when I'm just sitting there as a watcher of a six-year-old. If I was coaching the team, I don't know if I've got the patience for that.
It's tough. I mean, I coached my daughter Angela in basketball, but I will say it's some of the most fun I've ever had. And
really?
I didn't know jack squat about basketball. I was a bad player too, so. You know what the other thing is when the topic is youth sports, and it sounds hypocritical because my kids were basically, they specialized in just soccer. And I think that was detrimental to them. I think that they would have had now, they did branch out and do some other things, especially when they were younger. I hope the kids are encouraged to do more than one sport. You know, I know
that's what I hear the most from professional athletes these days.
Well, it's not to do that.
Be well rounded.
Yes.
And it will develop your body even better in the sports that you excel in if you participate in all the sports.
That's kind of the point I was getting at. You know, I'm no physical therapist, but if you're only working in one sport, you're only working in some instances certain ways. And if you are, you're a soccer player and you're also a baseball player, or you play baseball and then you play basketball, you're working different muscles, which I think is even better for your body, and it's better for your interaction and your development, your maturation. I'm a huge advocate of in youth sports to have your kids try more than one thing, even if they're great in one. And I say it from experience because I wish my kids had done more branching out and trying to play different sports as opposed to focusing on just one thing.
Really
quick that way.
Before we get to the White Sox conversation here, Nick and Niles, we're up against the clock, Nick. So thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello, gentlemen. So I have a son. I have three sons, but my oldest is in wrestling. Very difficult to sit there and be still if you're a competitive person. But I would never yell at somebody else's kids. No way. Wouldn't do that. I'm more hard on my own kids just because I lost my father when I was young. So for me, when I played sports, it would have been great to have him there as a support system. So I think it's important, but you got to draw a line at some point as well. like, don't attack other people's kids or anything like that.
Say anything about it. Yeah, especially at that age. Yeah. Any age, really. But, Nick, thank you. We appreciate it. It was a good discussion. I appreciate all the advice from everybody. We'll do this again. I want to continue to share this stuff because this is all new to me. Waddle's been through it. I know Meller's going through it with twins, and they're very competitive and very good athletes. 312-332-3776. We are going to talk some White Sox baseball coming up. Is Luis Robert a can't miss? And what will Madrigal's role be? We'll have that conversation coming up in just 2 minutes.